There was a remarkable moment last week when the leaders of 195 countries started the process of signing the global climate agreement reached in Paris at the end of last year. It commits them to keeping any temperature rise to below 2 degrees centigrade. But how do they do that, let alone go further, which many argue is needed? Lord Turner, who chairs the Energy Transitions Commission, says drastic action is now needed. He joins us here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And countries do have a plan, these so-called NDCs, the intended nationally determined contributions, to get there.
But yes, each of the countries which are the signatories of this have set out an intended nationally determined contribution. And those are a major step forward, that getting all of those countries, rich and poor, to make those commitments. But if you add them up, and many people have pointed this out already, if you add them up, they would still leave us on a path which would take us to a warming of something like 2.7 to 3.4 degrees centigrade, not well below 2 degrees centigrade. And we've got to make a big difference quickly. Even by 2030, we've got to be on a path with carbon emissions something like 30% below those which are in the combination of the INDCs. And the challenge is to work out how do we actually do that while also enabling emerging and poorer countries to still economically grow.
And your answer?
Well, the answer is it's going to require a combination of strategies. It is undoubtedly going to require the application of renewable and nuclear technologies to drive the decarbonisation of the electricity. And that is the area which is going incredibly fast at the moment and about which we can be optimistic. The crucial thing to realise, however, is that electricity consumption accounts for only about 20% of global energy consumption. So we've got to have a plan for everything which isn't electricity, either applying electricity to the rest of the energy system or by driving down carbon in other areas of energy. The other thing that we've got to do, and it sometimes gets missed out in this, is we've got to achieve an increase in what's called energy productivity, use less amounts of energy per unit of GDP produced. And those two dimensions, decarbonising the energy supply and achieving a rapid growth of energy productivity, are what we've got to achieve.
We are so far away from that decarbonising the energy supply. And yet you look at the remarkable, I mean, last week there was great big fanfare about the scale of what had been achieved in Paris. Yep. But is it, are you suggesting?
Well, no, I look, this is a glass half empty and half full, but I think it's half full, and we can build on that. The fact is that if you look at the INDCs, there is remarkable progress intended there, for instance, in renewable electricity. And we are seeing there solar energy now being provided with contracts, free market contracts across the world, at as low as 6 US cents per kilowatt hour. Now, that is fully competitive with gas or coal supply. So we are going to see, and it's in the INDCs for India or China, you see very, very big commitments to renewable electricity. But we've got to expand the range in which we are applying low-carbon energy to other areas as well. And that's the challenge we've really got to work out.
You make the point that even if they do what they've said they'll do, we're still some way short.
We're still some way short of it, yes. The figure is basically that if you add up all the INDCs, run them out to 2030, we've got to get about 30% below where the aggregate of the INDCs are.
And that's just to meet 2%. And many people say, actually, you need to go far further to make a difference.
Yes, that is right. Well, I think the crucial, I think Paris had it right in terms of objectives.
Right.
I think the well below 2 degrees should be clearly achievable. I think it is technologically achievable, provided there is the will and the investment and the correct policies and all of the different players working together. Okay. I think 1.5, bluntly, is an aspiration. It will be damn difficult to achieve.
Okay.
Even 2 degrees requires that by the end of the century, we have a zero carbon economy. No carbon at all.
Well, there is another element which often gets missed when people are talking about this, which is the sort of remedy, for example, the carbon capture and storage, which Norway and a couple of others are looking at. And we were, but aren't any longer.
Well, we really don't know how big a technology carbon capture and storage will be. I think relative to what people expected 8 years ago when I started being the chair of the UK Climate Change Committee, it has been one of the areas which has been disappointingly slow progress. I think we have to put money into it to work out on how large a scale can it work. We probably definitely need it to decarbonise some uses of energy, like in heavy industry, where it's very difficult to see another way forward. I think what's less clear is whether it can really be a big technology in terms of decarbonising electricity production. We simply don't know that. But it's certainly a technology which we have to invest in to make it available as one of the portfolio of possibilities.
Lord Turner, Adair Turner, thank you very much.
Thank you.